live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 24th day of March 2026. Before I introduce to you my returning guest today and our theme, I have some important announcements to make. First of all, those of you who missed last week's debate that we had here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Thursday and Friday. It was a two-day debate between Reformed Baptist Jeremiah Nortier and Church of Christ apologist Jack Wilkie on the theme, Is Water Baptism Essential for Salvation? The video is now available of that two-day debate because our dear friends at the church where Jeremiah Nortier is the pastor, 12-5 Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, a Reformed Baptist congregation, they created a video of the two-day radio debate. So this debate is available both in a video and audio-only format, and you could see the video at Jeremiah Nortier's website, theapologeticdog.com, theapologeticdog.com, and you can hear the audio-only version, if you prefer, at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website, ironsharpensironradio.com. And I thought it was a very well-done debate. Got a little heated at one point, or at least one point. But I still think that the issues were clearly compared and contrasted, the two different views on baptism being essential for salvation, being affirmed by the Church of Christ apologist Jack Wilkie and being opposed by the Reformed Baptist apologist Jeremiah Nortier. So I hope you enjoy and are blessed, edified, and challenged by that debate. Also, I have a very important prayer request that involves a close mutual friend of both my guest and mine. As many of you may have seen from my social media posts, my very dear longtime friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, fell 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, in his home, which involved him or required him to be rushed to the hospital. And he was experiencing a lot of excruciating pain. He was not very sharp mentally. He was confused and not thinking clearly because of the, as it turns out, the strong pain medication was affecting his mind. But since they have removed that strong pain medication from his protocol, his thinking has returned to normal. He is improving, although he is not 100% out of the woods. He is not yet ready to return home. Please pray for this dear brother who is such a great treasure to the body of Christ, especially those of us in the Reformed community. And I will keep you updated, and hopefully we'll have Dr. Moorcraft return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for another excellent interview. But today I am so thrilled to have back a returning guest who was recently on my program for the first time, Puyan Marshahi, who is a native of Iran, or Iran, now pastoring in a Reformed Baptist congregation in the United Kingdom, Providence Baptist Chapel of Cheltenham, England. And he leads the translation team of the Persian Bible through the Trinitarian Bible Society. He also leads Paratrust, which is translating Reformed Christian literature in the Persian language. And he has been a founding member, trustee, and lecturer at Salisbury Reformed Seminary in England. Today we're going to be discussing a number of things that we did not have time to address in our first interview a week ago. And we're going to follow up on more of what he is doing in the realm of translation into the Farsi language, the language of the Persian people. And also, we're going to find out real deal, as it were, about freedom of speech in the United Kingdom. We're going to be hearing about the challenges of boldly declaring biblical truth without compromise in the UK, and how free is speech in the UK today. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Puyan Marshahi.
Hello, brother. Thank you so much for inviting me back. It is good to be with you, and may the Lord bless our conversation.
And to those of you who did not hear our first broadcast with Puyan last week on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, that was March 16th. If you look it up on the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website archive, ironsharpensironradio.com, just type in his first name in the search engine, Puyan. I can assure you he is the only person I've ever interviewed with that name, the only person I've ever met, although I've not met him face-to-face, other than through the computer screen. But Puyan is spelled P as in Peter, O-O-Y-A-N. And you will find our first interview together, Born Zoroastrian in Iran, Born Again in the UK, and Reaching the Persian-Speaking People with the Gospel of Grace. Puyan went into great depth about his conversion from Zoroastrianism, in which he was raised in Iran, and how he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord, God, Savior, and King, and was born again by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ in the United Kingdom, and how he came to pastor, where he is currently serving as pastor in Cheltenham, England. So you can hear all of that wonderful stuff in greater depth in our first interview. So just look that up after this live program is over. But for those of our listeners who missed that program, Puyan, please give us a summary description of the church that you are pastoring there in Cheltenham, England, which is Providence Baptist Chapel of Cheltenham.
Thank you. Our church is a Reformed Baptist church, a 1689 Confession Baptist church. In Cheltenham, and by the grace of God, I was called here over 18 years ago to minister the Word of God and to care for the flock And we are a congregation of just over 70 membership. And we are zealous to bring the gospel, to preach the gospel, both in the church and outside of the church, into the open air. We go out every week, generally speaking, in different parts around the our area. And so I'm very privileged to be amongst the dear saints here. As our brother said, that I'm originally from Iran, but our church is a English-speaking church. We have a mixture of roughly around 9 or 10 nationalities that come, and we are growing, I trust, in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. And if anyone wants to find out more information about Providence Baptist Church in Cheltenham, England, go to cheltenham.church. Cheltenham is spelled CHELTENHAM.church. And you can find out everything you need to know about that fine congregation. Well, I know that there is quite a number of things that you wanted to address that we did not have an opportunity to discuss in any great depth because of the lack of time during your first interview, which is a lot to do with your actual conversion experience and so on. So if you could just start off where you'd like to as far as some of the work you're doing there in the United Kingdom.
Well, as well as preaching maybe 3, 4, 5 times a week to our own congregation, and also from time to time ministering at the seminary, I teach introductory Greek and Hebrew and some homiletics. I use the time that I have to work on a Bible translation and revision work. We have a team of faithful translators and editors and proofreaders under the lead and leadership of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And there has been a revision work going on for quite a number of years. And I led the team to translate or revise the old Henry Martin translation. Henry Martin was a missionary sent by the English church to India, and then he arrived in Persia of the time, the Iran of today, in the early 1800s, and he translated the New Testament and part of the Old Testament. And so the Trinitarian Bible Society has been involved in revising, correcting, and then republishing the New Testament, which was published in 2019, and many thousands of it have been distributed and is freely available online. But the reason for doing that was one of the major things was that we felt that there was no faithful translation of the Word of God. What we were finding was that the old translation, which was called the Standard Persian Translation, was no longer adequate enough, and that it needed to be corrected, it needed to be revised. And what was being published was akin to probably NIV or the various paraphrased versions like the Good News Bible, which was causing problems in the faithful study and the preaching of the Word of God. They were not adequate enough for expository preaching of the Word of God. So that was the purpose behind it. And so the revision work continues on. Even this earlier on today, I had a meeting with the team to discuss the translation efforts. And so by the grace of God, this continues on, and we hope that the full Old Testament will be finished within around a year's time, for which I'm very grateful if you could pray for us for this, and that then the Iranian people will have a translation that would be accurate, faithful to the Hebrew and the Greek texts, but also faithful to preach from and to study and to distribute amongst the Iranians. That is one of the major projects I have been involved in, and also something else I'd like to share with you. I think there are many who may not be so aware of the work of God in Iran that the Lord has been working. Even in these difficult times, the Lord is at work. And please stop me if you'd like to interject and ask anything, but I will just continue on if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, please.
But as many know, there has been a great movement of the Holy Spirit in affecting many, many Iranians, many thousands of Iranians to become disillusioned with the Islamic religion. It is claimed, I'm not sure if that is true, but it is claimed that Iran is the fastest and largest revival that is taking place in that country in the past 30 years. But if you were to think about this, friends, that the Islamic revolution took place in 1979. And at the time when that revolution took place, the missionary societies, they expelled their, or they called back their missionaries. Many churches and schools were closed down. And there was a sense that that the work was going to stop in Iran, that the evangelism was going to stop in Iran. There's much discouragement. And yet, despite that continued hostility from the late 1970s until now, Iranians have become the Muslim people who are most open to the gospel in the Middle East. And one of the greatest missionaries I always think of is that of Ayatollah Khomeini, who was the first leader, Islamic leader in Iran at after the revolution. And through him and the other leaders who are now gone, even in recent weeks, they were killed in the war that is taking place. And these people actually antagonized and disillusioned the Iranian people against the Islamic belief. And so many are turning to all kinds of beliefs and faiths, including the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been so humbling and encouraging. And so in one sense, when we think that these men, these as the Psalm 2 speaks about how the heathen rage and they imagine vain things, yet the Lord laughs and the Lord uses the very people who want to undermine the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and speak blasphemies against the Lord Jesus Christ. They are used by God to the turning of many hearts to Christ. And that shows that God is sovereign. He can use anyone that he wishes, which is so encouraging. And so I have experienced going into Turkey and meeting zealous young men and women who want to serve the Lord. I have been engaged in teaching them over the years, both online and in person. And these are people who desire Reformed theology. You see, the Iranian churches, generally speaking, had become weak before the revolution took place. There were missionaries from various denominations, but what was being taught was not solid doctrines of the Reformation. But they had become weak in their ecumenism and in their easy believism. And Pentecostalism and charismatic beliefs began to seep in as well. And of course, Arminianism on all forms of weak and erroneous forms of Christianity from the West. And In the past decades, in the past 40 years or so in Iran, generally speaking, Pentecostalism has been the theology that has been pumped into the country from the Western countries, especially the United States, sadly. But over these decades, Iranian Christians have become tired of that form of theology, and they have been seeking something that is deeper, something that is more biblically robust, and something that is genuinely Christian. And so we've been very encouraged to see men and women contacting us, asking for literature. So we have been, I've been involved with Parsa Trust, which is a Reformed organization, a Reformed ministry that we have set up. Parsa is P-A-R-S-A, Trust. And there's a website we have. It is called parsaweb.org, P-A-R-S-A web, W-E-B.org. And there we are publishing, we are posting Reformed literatures. We have books by Joel Beakey. We have books by J.C. Ryle, by Spurgeon, by Al Martin, by a variety of other people, Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards and such people, and publishing the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Baptist Confession of Faith, and such things, evangelistic material. We have posted over 2,000 sermons on sermon audio. We have re-preached Spurgeon. We have re-preached Al Martin. And Joel Beakey is preaching in Farsi on sermon audio. So people go, they are wanting to listen to Spurgeon, and they suddenly are shocked that Spurgeon is preaching in Farsi, which is quite amusing when I see the faces of people. J.C. Ryle and others their sermons are being re-preached by us. So there are probably around 1,000 evangelistic sermons, and then about 1,000 teaching sermons on sermon audio, just in Farsi. And these are being downloaded by the thousands every month.
Praise God.
And our brother Joe Moorcraft, Dr. Joe Moorcraft's sermons and series of sermons are being retranslated, and we re-preach them. And so they are available both in both words that people can read, as well as they can hear themselves. We see there's a move by some, still it is very small number, desiring better things. And of course, the charismatics, of course, the various cults, and also westernized Christianity. By that, I mean easy believism Christianity of the West, the Joel Osteen type, or even certain ones from sort of weak Southern Baptist convention kind of teaching and preaching, which is sentimental rather than robustly theological, are being pumped into the country.
When you say the country, you're talking about Iran.
That's right. Iran and Afghanistan. You have to remember Afghanistan as well. The people there, they speak a dialect of Persian language or Farsi language. And so when we preach these things, a man sitting in Kabul with his cell phone is able to listen to these things as well. And we have friends who are sitting in Kabul, having Dr. Joe Moorcraft preaching to them in Farsi, or Spurgeon, or J.C. Ryle, or Al Martin is being preached in Kabul. These men would have never thought such things were possible. Right now, there are books by Paul Washer, Arthur Pink, Sovereignty of God by Pink, Ryle's Holiness, and various other wonderful writings are being produced, both in audio as well as in digital publications. And so we thank God for these things, that in the midst of the downgrade in the US and the UK and the Western world, in the midst of even the confusion of all kinds of Westernized Christianity, which is flooding Iran and the region, the Lord is calling out a people who are hungry for robust Christianity and the Reformed faith. And so I could go on. In the past few years since COVID, amazingly, the things we never prayed for began to be possible. If I could just encourage you and say, in Iran, we have published within Iran itself, we were given the opportunity to publish thousands of New Testaments, thousands of literature by and Gospels, which were quickly distributed. Now, sadly, some of those brothers who were distributing these things have been arrested. They have had to pay a great price for their faithfulness in taking the word of God to people. Even earlier in January, a dear brother, a very young man in his early 20s, he was arrested. They found about 600 New Testaments in his basement, and he was imprisoned and he suffered much. Thankfully, he's been released. He's just on bail at the moment. And but these dear saints, they are going, distributing such things, encouraging others to listen. And so we should be so thankful to God that our website is being visited by tens of thousands of people per month, and the downloads from Sermon Audio and other sites are so encouraging to see. We get people contacting us and saying, well, I have been speaking in tongues, I was told, but to me it always sounded very much gibberish. But now I have come to realize it was gibberish. Something that I read, we published a book by Dr. Peter Masters of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as well as on charismatic chaos, it is called, and healing epidemic, one book. And they have been reading these things, and they've come to a better understanding of the Word of God. And so we thank God for that.
Was that book, Charismatic Chaos, by the late John MacArthur?
There is the Charismatic Chaos, but there is another one called, I believe, now I mixed the two, Charismatic Confusion by Dr. Peter Masters.
Oh, okay.
But we were able, by the grace of God, we found a printer in Iran who used to publish the Quran, but became so disillusioned that he was willing to publish anything but the Quran.
Wow.
And so he, through a contact of ours, the Lord opened the door and said, look, as long as you pay the money, and it was a high cost, but for us it was, well, it would cost maybe $1, $2 per New Testament it cost us. And he published 5,000 New Testaments for us. But, and it was on what they call Quranic paper. It is on thin paper that we print Bibles on. But they used to print Qurans on them. But he published the New Testaments, a very good quality. And then they were all packaged in boxes that says on it, the Holy Quran, and then distributed. They were, if police was to stop them, all they would see is Holy Quran boxes, and they were being sent out to Christians and distributed in that fashion. The same happened in Turkey. Turkey has become a bottleneck for many refugees, Iranian refugees. And again, an Islamic printer was willing to print about 4,000 New Testaments for us. And there were all these Muslim staff who were, we have videos of them, who were printing, and they were gluing, and they were putting the covers on the New Testaments without realizing what they were doing. And all of these things we can say, it is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
So in other words, you're saying the staff, the Muslim staff, didn't realize they were helping to manufacture the Christian New Testaments?
That's right. If they knew that they were publishing New Testaments, they would have destroyed them.
Now, why is it that they weren't aware of this, since it was being printed in their own language?
Their boss had not. So in Turkey, they speak Turkish, not Farsi. So they do not understand.
Okay.
In Iran, the publishers knew, but they did not care. They have become so disillusioned with Islam that the head publisher said that I am adamant not to publish the Quran anymore. And so he had said that he would rather even publish Karl Marx's manifesto than publish the Quran. And that just shows the way people have changed. So the general public, 80%, at least 80% of the general public in Iran are not pro-Islam. They are desperate for something else. But sadly, what they're going after is Buddhism, New Age, and many false forms of Christianity, Joyce Meyer Christianity. And that is where we must pray and seek the Lord and find means to take the truth of the gospel to them. But we need to be encouraged in the midst of all of this wars and rumors of wars, and know that the Lord has a people, and he's calling them by his grace to himself, and that there are good things happening too. The good books are being published, and people are listening to our resources.
Great. Well, we have to go to our first commercial break, and if you would like to join us with a question of your own for Pouyan, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. You may remain anonymous if for some reason perhaps you believe identifying yourself puts your safety at risk. I'm not sure where in the world you may be writing your email from and listening. Because this program is heard globally. So we will accept anonymous questions. But if it's a general question and it in no way jeopardizes your safety, please give us your name and your city and state and country of residence. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. And Puyon, we have a listener named Ernie in Willow Street, Pennsylvania. And Ernie says, Salam Chitori, which apparently means hello, how are you, in Farsi. I probably butchered the pronunciation.
Right.
Oh, did I pronounce it correctly?
Salam Khubam. Yes, you pronounce it correctly, and my answer is Salam Khubam.
Okay. Ernie says, I know Puyon and am glad to hear of his work translating Reform materials into Farsi. My best man in my wedding 40 years ago, Morteza Azimi, was from Iran or Iran and was saved through the ministry of a Presbyterian missionary, Dr. William Miller, now deceased, who spent many years in Iran in the early part of the 20th century. Wondering if Puyon has heard of him. Well, first, let's start with that one.
Yes, William Miller was a godly Presbyterian minister and missionary. I would recommend strongly anyone who is able to get a copy of his book called Tales from Persia, published by the Presbyterian Reform Publishing. And there are short biographical stories of his experience of different people that he met while ministering in Iran. He was a very godly Presbyterian man who labored in various parts of Iran. Well, I'm very pleased that this brother knows of him and also that other Iranian man who was converted through that man's ministry.
And Ernie's second question is also wondering if he, meaning you, Puya, thinks the current action by the USA and Israel liberating Iranians from the Ayatollah's control helps his efforts to reach Iranians for Christ and the gospel. You touched on that a bit during our first interview, but perhaps you could expand upon it.
Yes, well, the current situation is very mixed. Of course, for the past decades, 40-odd years since 1979, there was oppression. Many people have been killed. Christians have been persecuted. The gospel work has been limited. And the church in the last couple of decades have had to go underground, the evangelical church, which would have been mainly Pentecostal, but there would be a handful of Baptists, a handful of Presbyterians, a handful of Anglicans, evangelical Anglicans. But many have been tortured in prison, executed. So the current situation of many of these wicked and satanic, I would say, driven leadership that have been now taken out. That is a thing that many people are celebrating and thanking God for. These were wicked men that the Lord has taken out, we could say. However, Israel and the United States, they have had their own agenda. I am not sure if one was to look at the subject of the just war, if this, especially for United States, if this was a just war or not, or if it is something akin to the Iraq war or the Libya war. I think these are the things that U.S. Citizens will have to think about and seriously too. However, from an Iranian perspective, many Iranians are dancing in the streets. They are having parties. They're thankful that that many of these dictators have been deposed. And the when the bombing stops happening, they become worried as to what is happening. Is America stopping now? The Iranians do not want things to stop. The general public, they don't want it to stop. They want this regime to be completely gone. That is the Iranian perspective. But the United States and Israel will have their own agenda, and they will have their own limitations. I'm sure with the change of fuel prices, this is going to be have an impact upon the politics. But from a spiritual point of view, the Lord is at work in his own way. He brings up kings and he brings them down. He uses Cyrus. He uses Babylon. He uses both wicked and godly men to do whatever he wills. He's sovereign. And his ultimate purpose is to judge the world in righteousness, as he will do finally. But his great purpose is for his church, for his kingdom to grow, and for his sheep to hear his voice and follow him. So as Christians, we can say the Lord is working out his purposes, and we should pray that the door for the gospel would be made clearly open, and that souls would hear the word of God. There was some weeks back, I wrote down 12 things which I think all people ought to be praying. It's if you don't mind me mentioning it, I think it is
important
for people who know how to pray for the situation. Number one, I've put down, pray for restraint of violence, that upheaval does not descend into bloodshed and revenge or civil disorder. Number two, pray for true spiritual awakening, not merely political freedom. A new government will not save lost souls. Number three, pray for the demolition of false religion and entrenched unbelief, that Islamic strongholds and secular rebellion alike would crumble before the truth of Christ. Number four, pray for protection and perseverance of believers, because believers are under great threat right now. They are being seen as the agents of the United States or Israel. So pray for protection for them, especially converts who may face danger from multiple sides. Number five, pray for wise and courageous local shepherds, men of conviction, humility, and doctrinal clarity. We don't have many of them in Iran. In that vast country, amongst many who profess the name of Christ, there are no local shepherds who are, we could say, are strongly evangelical and reformed. Number six, pray for the rapid raising up and training of faithful elders so the church is not left immature or driven by personalities. We need faithful local church pastors and elders. Number seven, pray for discernment against false gospels, whether prosperity teaching, emotionalism, also nationalism, or liberal theology. Number eight, pray for strength in the unseen war on souls, that Satan's schemes, fear, deception, and division would be exposed and defeated. Number nine, pray that new freedoms would be used for gospel proclamation, not wasted on worldliness or distraction. You see, what is happening in Iran right now, they are seeking, they want the freedoms of the West without realizing at what cost the freedoms were purchased.
Right.
And on what basis. It was Christian heritage. Our Christian heritage is the reason for our freedoms, not our secularism. Secularism is destroying our Christian freedoms. And we need to pray for that, because the Iranians, there is a leftist agenda that is taking place, that they want to flood the country with liberal theology, with LGBT agendas, and homosexual marriages, and all of these kinds of things. So we need to pray about these things too. We need to pray, number 10, pray for that, that Christ would be openly confessed as Lord, and that many Iranians would bow the knee in repentance and faith. Number 11, pray for the breaking of Satan's chains from the hearts of the lost, that blindness, deception, and love for the world's pleasures would be shattered by the light of Christ. And number 12, I put, pray that people would seek the hope and freedom found only in the gospel, not placing their trust in political reform, national identity, or temporary liberty, but in Christ alone.
Amen.
These are some of the things that I thought people ought to be praying for at this time for Iran.
By the way, after this live program, could you email me that list? I would like to circulate that in social media.
Of course, I will do that.
I'd like to add a 13th prayer request. Puyan and I have been discussing the possibility of him being one of my two biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon speakers in 2027. And he is supposed to be hearing word from at least one of his elders about his availability to do so in about a week's time from today, I think. And if everyone listening could pray that the Lord would open up that opportunity for Puyan to speak at one of my two 2027 biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheons. I would be so thrilled, and I'm sure my audience will be so thrilled to meet Puyan in person and to hear what edifying and challenging message he has in store for men in ministry leadership there. One thing that I wanted to ask you to follow up on Ernie's question, and thank you, Ernie, in Willow Street, Pennsylvania. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The folks that are dancing in the streets and so on in Iran who are thrilled with the bombing going on in the joint effort with Israel and the United States military. Do you know personally some of these folks? Are they friends, family members from your youth, perhaps, your days living in Iran?
There are contacts, yes. There are contacts that I know, and they've sent me videos of what's going on. However, I should say they are dancing because they are thankful that evil men are being removed. However, many of them, because of what is happening, the more sanctions they exist, and the more you see the Iranian government attacks its own people,
mm-hmm.
and it is removing resources from people, and it has made the inflation has got so high that people are finding it hard to even buy bread. They don't have enough fuel to travel. So even though fuel is being stopped by the Iranian regime for the rest of the world, they are also stopping it for its own people. And so people cannot travel. They have internet limitations. The internet is shut off. The use of phone is shut off. And so many of them are finding it a real struggle. So they are rejoicing, and yet they are going through great, great hardships. In certain parts, people are so hungry. And so they are calling it like a mini famine that is taking place in Iran. So it's not an easy time for them. The government is not making it easy for them, because the government wants to tell them, look, you want freedom? Look, the United States doesn't care about you. Look at what it's trying to do. Look at how it has attacked the country, and they will give up at last, and they will leave us nothing behind, but we will be there for you. And so they're blaming all of these things on United States and Israel. And so people are thankful and rejoicing in one breath, but at the same time, they're concerned about the future. Will this war stop? Will they enter into some negotiations? Will the Islamic regime remain? If it remains, then the people fear that there'll be much more slaughters taking place. Many will die who the government has been monitoring, and the government has been filming. Iran is a police state. They have cameras everywhere. And so people are concerned, we are being identified. By going on the streets, we are being identified, Christians too. And so it is a real concern. Iranians are hoping that the war will not merely end, but it will end with the demise of the current regime.
And since you were saying that the contacts you have are delighted when they hear the bombing, they're worried when the bombing stops, I'm assuming for the most part that would mean the military of the United States and Israel has been, for the most part, successful at only targeting military threats in Iran, and that the, for the most part, innocent citizens are not being harmed, at least in great number. I know that I had heard of the tragedy of a girls' school being hit with a bomb and the loss of life there. That was an accidental thing, evidently. I don't know if you know of any other tragedies like that, but was my description there accurate, or am I off on that as far as the Iranian contacts you have being, for the most part, pleased with the safety of the people during this bombing effort?
Yes. If people were fearful for their own personal lives in the general areas in most parts of Tehran or other cities, they would not be out partying, or they are not out doing their own things, doing their usual life stuff, shopping and working and so on. So they do believe that America and Israel are targeting military and sensitive areas. Of course, there are collateral damage. Of course, there are people's homes that are damaged, and people's lives who are not involved in this war. And there are those who have lost their lives, sadly. But the intention of Israel and America hasn't been the murdering of Iranian people. However, the Iranian government has killed, at least it is reported, and this is conservative estimate, that in the past couple of months since January, over 40,000 of its own people have been murdered. That wasn't Israel. That wasn't United States. That was the Islamic regime of Iran. So people understand these things, and they understand that this is the price that they have to pay.
Hmm. Well, we are going to our midway break, and when we come back, we will get to as many of your listener questions as possible. We do have some folks waiting in the wings to have their questions asked and answered by my guest, Puyon. If you would like to get in line and join them with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if, for some reason, your question and identifying yourself would put your safety in jeopardy. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
President of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Hi,
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Attention all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners. There is no doubt we are living in difficult times. Our country is facing out-of-control government spending, a looming trade war, a race towards a traceable digital currency, and the growing BRICS alliance, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. All signs are pointing to major shifts in the global economy. More and more countries are dumping the U.S. dollar, and that should be a wake-up call. That's why I urge you to call my friends at Gold Wealth Management, advertisers here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are offering free, no-obligation reports on market conditions, the BRICS threat, the future of digital currency, and how to protect your wealth with physical gold and silver. Do you already own physical gold or silver, but were never fully educated and still have questions? Maybe you're unsure how it fits into your overall plan. Call for a free evaluation and educational call with the team at Gold Wealth Management. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. Don't guess. Don't delay. Get the information you need to make a sound, informed decision. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. That's Gold Wealth Management.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they automatically provide financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every single month, but on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as the listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when purchasing their jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry designed and created, either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. They have customers globally, so you can purchase your jewelry no matter where you live in the world at RoyalDiadem.com. Please make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest and our fascinating topic, I just want to remind our listeners that if you really love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you do not want us to go off the air, we urgently need your financial help. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, then click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. Or if you prefer snail mail, as many people still do, typically people my age, there will still also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks at your local post office made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So, please, if you want to help us remain on the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote. Either way, if you want to advertise with us, please just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations, because we recently lost two of our largest advertisers, including a globally renowned Christian bookstore that used to be located here in town that was selling the finest in Christian literature at the most reasonable prices. They were one of our biggest advertisers, and tragically, after 50 years of business, they had to permanently shut their doors. So we lost that extremely valuable source of income. Please help us replace and replenish that lost income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And just to remind you, however, as urgently as we need your help, I never want anybody in my audience giving less money to their local church where they are a member than they normally give their church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. In other words, please never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham, England, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the entire globe, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. So please, no matter where you live in the world, if you're without a biblically faithful church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to my guest today, Puyan, about Iran, about his ministry in Cheltenham, England, about his translation ministry, anything in regard to Reformed Baptist theology and practice. Send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if you somehow believe that identifying yourself puts your safety or the safety of those you love in jeopardy. And we have Anthony in Hoshton, Georgia. And he says, "Brother Puyan, would you say that the UK Would you say that the UK is clearly under judgment of God, both by the disgraceful actions of Keir Starmer, both in censoring Bible-based Christians and other citizens from speaking freely? I see videos showing people being arrested for praying outside of abortion clinics or proclaiming the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, in public. Followers of Islam, on the other hand, are free to speak of the demonic teachings of Islam freely. Is there any hope or signs of any kind of repentance and revival among churches in the UK and taking back of the UK as a Christian-based nation? Puyon?
Thank you. Thank you for that. That's a very important question. I do believe that United Kingdom is under God's judgment, not necessarily because of the politics that we're experiencing and the outward things that we are seeing, what have been even mentioned by the brother who wrote to us. But actually, the judgment is upon the church. The churches that claim the name of Jesus Christ, they are the ones who are the reason for this judgment that is taking place. And that's something that we ought to remember, friends, because when Israel was judged, it was because of its leadership, because of the leaders that such things happened. Even in the time of William Cowper, or you might pronounce his name, William Cowper, the English hymn writer and poet, he wrote this: "When nations are to perish in their sins, 'tis in the church the leprosy begins. The priests, whose office is with zeal sincere to watch the fountain and preserve it clear, carelessly nods and sleeps upon the brink, while others poison what he should not drink." And he said in his day that the priests, the ministers, were sleeping while the water was being poisoned. And so when you see that the churches are not preaching the gospel, there are people who are placed in pulpit who are not converted, who are speaking evil against the Lord. We have the cathedral just down the road from our home, the Gloucester Cathedral. The bishop is a woman who is pro-LGBT supporter. She says that God should not be referred to as he, but as a she. And so in her prayers publicly each Sunday, she's referring to God as she. These are blasphemies that are done in the name of a Christian church. And so, and then look at the Reformed churches. There is so much, there's so much weakness. There's so much fear. Even though we believe in the sovereignty of God, yet there are many who are fearful. There's very little lack of evangelism, concerns for souls. And the list goes on. There is a desire more after the latest trends and the latest fad within the Reformed churches. And they're not doing anything, just entertaining themselves to death in their services. And so, William Cowper was right. When nations are to perish in their sins, 'tis in the church the leprosy begins. Friends, yes, United Kingdom is under judgment. Just last year, we went to evangelize during March for Life, which is an event in London. Thousands upon thousands, mostly Roman Catholics, go out on the march. We went amongst them to March for Life. It's a pro-life rally. And I wrote a tract, a winsome tract, a kind tract for Roman Catholics to read the gospel. Most Protestants who were there, they despised what we were doing. They said, you should not be using this opportunity to evangelize the Roman Catholics. And we said, look, these people will never see them again. They'll never hear the gospel. And so we evangelized the Roman Catholics. Many of them were thankful for what we were seeking to do. And we said we will love the lives of the unborn, but also we love the lives of those who are alive now. And we want to share this wonderful message with you. But then afterwards, we went to pray and seek the Lord in a park, in an English park just outside of the Parliament in London. And I prayed. We sang some hymns and psalms. And then I prayed, read the scripture, and I prayed. And as I prayed, I heard that I felt that there was a crowd forming around us. And, you know, it was a group of police officers who came, and they said, you are not allowed to pray in this park. You are not allowed to sing. And they sought to arrest one of my friends who was there. And then I went and I pleaded to release him. And I said, we are not doing anything illegal. We are singing God's praise. We are praying. And they said, no, this is not allowed. There's a bylaw here. You should not. But we didn't know. We had no idea there was a bylaw to not to pray in a park next to the Parliament. And so I actually cannot go into that park. There is a police. The police took a record of me, and I'm not allowed to go into the park for another year. This is England, sadly. I preach in the open air. If a Muslim, and they have done this, they have recorded me. I'm sorry. We always record ourselves now. We always, I just record myself on my phone. I hope one time at some point to get a camera to record ourselves in that way too, for our own protection. But we have had Muslims complaining, saying that we have offended them, that an Iranian man preaching and speaking and saying that Muhammad is not the way to God and Allah will not save you, it's offensive to them. And the police has come and they've recorded us and they've interviewed me. However, they haven't yet arrested me or anything like that. I try to be kind. I try to be loving. I always thank the police for what they do. And I try to seek to be winsome with the Muslims and speak of the mercy of God and the holiness of God to them and their need for forgiveness of sins. There are laws in England that have been passed that you cannot go near and you cannot even silently pray 150 meters near the abortion mill, abortion clinic, and people have been arrested many times.
Yeah, the famous video that circulated around here in the United States is a woman who was arrested for praying in front of an abortion clinic in her mind. She wasn't even audibly praying.
That's right. She's a Roman Catholic lady, very zealous lady, at the head of March for Life UK, who has done that. And yes, she was arrested a couple of times. Isabel Vaughan Spruce, her name is. But there have been many Christian friends, ministers of the gospel, Reformed Baptist pastors, and evangelical preachers who've gone out into the street. They have been arrested by the police. Oftentimes they have been released, and they have won the case. But it still is that intimidation that is upon us. But all of these things, yes, the country is under judgment. And I say this to the people as I'm preaching, to say to them that the reason our freedoms are being destroyed is because actually God is against us. It's not the politicians. It's not Keir Starmer. Judgment of God is upon a land that has forsaken the Lord. And so this is what we are seeing. This is when a land is under judgment. This is what you see. And what should we do? We should repent of our sins. The church needs to repent of its sluggishness and liberal theology. It has played a game. It has tried to be like the culture of its day. There is no difference between when you go and listen to a man preach in the pulpit in an evangelical church in England and see their worship. It's no different to a self-help TED talk. And this is evangelicalism. These are people who say they believe the Bible, and their worship services are more like a rock concert than coming before God in awe and reverence and the fear of God. Anyone who goes back to the Reformed faith and seeks to believe in the regulative principle of worship in his preaching, they are seen as dinosaurs. But praise God, in the midst of all of these things, since COVID, our church, our little church that holds to the old doctrines of the faith, we have tripled in size nearly.
Hallelujah.
Mostly by young people. Through conversions, through people coming in through the open air work. Roughly around 30 to 40 people have come in just through the open air work. It's not through entertainment. It's not about anything we have done, just preaching the gospel simply, clearly, to the heart of men and women and children. And they want to hear more of it. I had 2 weeks ago a lady who came in. She's come in since last summertime. So it's been roughly about 7 or 8 months she has come. She said, Pastor, she's very timid, so I didn't talk to her too much. I didn't get to know about her past. I knew general things about her. But 2 weeks ago, she said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I feel I have to talk to you. So we sat down in my study, and she said, you know, a year ago, I was a practicing witch.
Wow.
Practicing witchcraft. And she said that it is someone shared something about the gospel and asked me if I knew Jesus Christ. What did I think of Christ? A lady who came to our church. And she said, I didn't know. And then she was invited to come, and she heard the word of God. And every Sunday morning, I preach the gospel to the hearts of sinners. I'm preaching the free offer of the gospel to sinners. And people bring their unconverted friends in. In the evenings, I'm preaching consecutively doctrine and going through verse by verse through scripture. But in the mornings, it's always evangelistic. And this lady carried on coming every Sunday to hear the gospel. And she said, I've been converted.
Hallelujah.
That she said, I gathered all of my books, all of my witchcraft books outside, and I burnt them.
Wow.
And I said, do you know there's a Bible verse about that? But this is what the witches and such people did. It's recorded in the book of Revelation. And she's full of joy and peace. And so you have these people come in. These dear souls who were lost and blinded by Satan, such as us, once we were like that. And so we thank God for that. And we keep on praying, Lord, have mercy upon us. Revive us again in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. And so God answers prayer. And I believe there is a judgment upon the land. But more than that, there's a judgment upon the church. Where are the men? The pulpits in Reformed churches are so many of them are empty. The prayer meetings are empty. This is where we need to be praying for the cause of God and truth in our churches, that the Lord would revive us and to add to raise up men of God who are truly called by God, filled by the Holy Spirit, and who are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sound men in theology, but those who love the souls of men and who would go into the streets, who would do whatever they can to take the gospel. We don't have that. There are the charismatics. There are the Jehovah's Witnesses who are on the streets, and all sorts of strange people with strange ideas about Christianity who are out there preaching some kind of a message. But where are the reformed people, reformed ministers? They're going to their conferences. I don't go to conferences, I must confess. I don't have time. I need to care for our own flock, preach 4 or 5 times here. And so I'm please pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers who are actually committed to the local church, who are on fire for God, who love the gospel, who will preach the gospel and not be hiding behind reformed theology and say, like many did in the time of William Carey's day, oh, well, if the Lord wanted to save, he would save them anyhow. And I've had people like that speaking and say, you sound more like an Arminian. I said, no, I'm not an Arminian. But I know the Lord has a people.
Amen.
The sheep that must be saved, they must hear the gospel and be saved. This is the thing that gives us the strength and the hope and the whole motivation, the glory of God, and the fact that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so that's reformed theology on feet, on legs. Yes, we are under judgment, but under judgment, as Israel was when they were in captivity in Israel, God sends forth Daniels. God sends forth those 3 Hebrew children who will not bow the knee. And Christ is in their midst, even in this furnace. So we don't seek after persecution. But a little persecution will not hurt the church in the West. It is the lethargy and it is the apathy that will hurt the church in reformed churches in the West. The church has never been destroyed from outside. It's always been destroyed from within. The Apostle Paul, he warned Timothy, the elders of Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, that is, he said, from amongst yourselves, wolves would rise, and they would want a following after themselves. And he says, take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine and to the flock. So I am most encouraged. I have a very positive attitude about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in England. I believe the true church will continue to grow. The world will become worse and worse, and we may come under great persecutions. But I believe that the Lord will work amongst us, and we must be humble. We must be much in repentance over our own sins, but also we should be bold and not ashamed for Jesus Christ, and seek to win souls for Christ. He that winneth souls is wise, Solomon says.
So, wait, amen.
I'm sorry, I'm waffling.
No, you're doing a great job. Before we go to the final break, I just wanted to have you clarify some things as far as the what seems to be coming more and more a leftist totalitarianism in England and in the United Kingdom. Does this lack of freedom, the stranglehold that the government has in the UK over the church, over the true gospel, over evangelism and speaking the truth without compromise boldly in public, is this something that is different from area to area geographically in the United Kingdom?
Is it pretty much universal? And is it different what you say and do in the four corners of your church building from what you do in public?
It all depends on where you are. In the middle of Birmingham or London, it will be difficult. In a town like Leicester, I remember going to Leicester, there are large populations of Muslims, and when we sought to do average, the police came and said, we cannot protect you in this area for handing out tracts. All we wanted to do was to hand out tracts. And there are churches there that the police says, we cannot protect you. So there are those areas. And then there are...
How would the police react to you saying, then don't protect me? I'm still going to do my duty as a Christian and evangelize.
Well, they just would warn you, and they cannot do anything about it. They would go. But the British people in general are naive in thinking that there are moderate Muslims. There are no moderate Muslims. They are moderate as long as they are not in power. But they are becoming quite powerful. The mayor of London is a Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield, the mayor of Birmingham, Manchester. So many cities have mayors that are Muslims. And but there are, it all differs. It depends on where you are, but also how you conduct yourself. Are we there to preach the gospel, or are we there to attack the Muslims? No, we are there to win them for Christ. We are trying to engage with them, not to attack them, not to come hard and speak evil of them. The apostle went and spoke at Mars Hill, and through his speech, he reasoned with them. He didn't shout at them and disdain them, but he loved them. And he told them about a Savior who would save them if they were to believe him.
Amen.
So that's how we ought to be. But sadly, there are times that some people are going, feeling themselves like a prophet who just need to preach fire and brimstone and antagonize. There is also those as well who give open-air evangelism a bad name.
Yes,
but churches, generally speaking, have been wise. But there are those that are in the providence of God in places where they are very limited, and still they seek to serve the Lord.
Well, we have to go to our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Armson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And don't forget, folks, if you're the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And Puyon, we have Dooley in Paragould, Arkansas. And Dooley asks, I have heard that there are cities in the United Kingdom, perhaps especially London, that have actually been taken over by Sharia law. Is this true? Is it an exaggeration, or is it partially true?
It is true. I wouldn't say altogether taken over, but there are Sharia courts everywhere. The British people, they try to ignore it. But it is not protected by law, but it is practiced. So you have a man, a Muslim man, legally, under British law, he has one wife who lives with him, but he has six other wives who are claiming benefits with his children. So he has five children with each of them. And so there is five or six families being supported by the state, but they are under Sharia law, Islamic law, are his wives. And the British government cannot do anything about it. And under Sharia law, they are marrying people and they are getting divorces, and all sorts of illegal things are, things that are under the British court system is illegal, but they are being practiced. They don't care about the British courts. Just outside of our house, just about a mile away, last week, there were hundreds and hundreds of Muslims had taken over the whole park to pray, because it was the end of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. If Christians did that, we would be going through all kinds of red tape, and ultimately we would not be allowed to do that. But they would just go without permission and just take over. And the police comes and protects them so that nobody goes on and evangelizes them or anything like that. In situations like that, we would be arrested for, and they would use the law against us and say that they call it ASBO, which has to do with harassment and things like that, antisocial behavior, they call it. And so we are charged with that. So I believe that by what I see and what I know of dear friends who have experienced these things around the country and ministers of the gospel, even an ex-Muslim pastor that I spoke to last week, he said these things are happening all the time. And as an ex-Muslim, he sees these things. So I don't think we are exaggerating. However, England wasn't like this, and there was a time that England was pagan. There was a time many, many years ago before Christianity came to these isles. They were destroying themselves and bowing before the gods of their own making, but it was the gospel that came and saved them. And I think even though we don't like it, even though I don't agree with open border policies, and I believe that this government is destroying our nation and our Christian liberties, but the same gospel, it is our responsibility to preach and to pray. Henry Martin, that great man of God who went to Iran, to India, and he prayed this prayer, and we should pray this prayer too. He prayed, "Increase my zeal, that though I am but a feeble and obscure instrument, I may struggle out my few days in great and unremitting exertions for the demolition of paganism and the setting up of Christ's kingdom." He prayed that even though I'm so feeble, I am an obscure instrument, "Lord, increase my zeal," he said, "that I may struggle out my few days in great and unremitting exertions for the demolition of paganism and the setting up of Christ's kingdom." That should be our attitude in the sad, sad days that we are living in. And we should actually have hope in the gospel. Yes, Sharia laws are everywhere in this land. And it is very sad. There are ghettos just down, not too far from where I live. There are ghettos that the English people would find difficult to walk down at night times. Not me, because people will see me, they think I'm a Muslim man. But it is in such days that we should give ourselves to prayer and serious evangelism, winsome evangelism, not going and antagonizing them, but actually engaging them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite them into our homes and all sorts of ways of reaching the lost. These are pagans, lost. They don't know anything. The Lord Jesus Christ says they know not what they do. And that is their state.
And I want to
I answered that question.
Yes, you did beautifully. And I want to make sure our listeners have your website for Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham, England. Cheltenham.church, Chelten, ham.church. Please give our listeners what you most want etched in their hearts and minds before the program ends today.
I would say that, again, similar to what Henry Martin said, our life is so short, we are obscure instruments, but wherever the Lord has placed you, what an opportunity you have, and what a God we have, what a Savior we have, and He's worthy of not just our praise, but our whole life, and whoever are around us. Let us be as a friend of mine who was dying of cancer in Northern Ireland. He was dying of cancer. I used to go to him as a student and read Thomas Watson to him, and he had a pile of literature next to him. People would come and visit him, and he would say to them, if they were Christians, he would say, "Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you believe in Reformed theology?" And they would say, "Well, I don't know what that is." So then he would hand them a book by A.W. Pink, The Sovereignty of God. And if they were not Christians, he would give them a gospel literature. And I thought to myself, this is how I want to die. And I would encourage you, dear friends, that wherever you are, the Lord has placed you there in His sovereignty. And pray that the Lord would use you in these few days that you have in great and unremitting exertions for the demolition of paganism and the setting up of Christ's kingdom where you are. May God bless you. Thank you so much for the time that you've given me.
Amen, brother. I loved every minute of it, and I hope that you return to Iron Trip and Zion Radio frequently to bless me and my listeners. And now to those of you who are listening, I want you all to always remember for the rest of your entire lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. I look forward to hearing from you and your questions tomorrow.
on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.